Welcome to We the People. Today is January 2nd, 2022.
2022 has a ring to it.
Kind of nice. 2021 was kind of stinky, so, you know, hey, let's roll the dice. And that's what we said in 2020, though.
We're starting with a clean slate.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah. That's a good idea. So my name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
You want to spell that for our audience, Bill?
Not particularly. It's been spelled many different ways. Hey, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Pape is deals in everything John Deere, whether it be big tractors, small tractors, riding lawnmowers, implements, attachments, you name it. They got it up there. Go up and see them. They're at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Or you can give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com. Yeah, and they also have Honda and Steel Power products. If you're interested in those, go up and see them. I think...
get your gas-powered things while they're still around.
Yeah, while they're still available. I think, I forget what the deadline was on no more small gas engines in California. So that yet to be seen how that's all going to work
out. That'll work.
Yeah,
that'll work. You're going to go do some workout in the middle of a field. You're going to take the world's largest extension cord. Because you can't take a generator because that runs on gas. I think they're going to find out that might be unworkable, but, who am I to...
And get a bigger boat because you're going to have to carry a lot of batteries with you. Boat motors are included in that. So.
Oh, stop it. Are they really?
Small gas engine, yeah. No small gas engines in California. We're going to shut them all off.
We're going to go back to having the guys down in the bottom level. You know, row,
row.
Viking ships are back in style.
That's right. That's right. Water skiing, get some strong guys because they're going to have to row really fast.
What a bunch of idiots!
Anyway, go up and get your stuff, and as long as you have it, you can keep it, but retailers will no longer be allowed to sell gas engines in California.
If you live in another state and you hear they're going to do that there, and you think, well, that's stupid, they're never going to do that, let us be your cautionary tale. Yeah.
Oh, and then weren't you telling me the other day that California is now trying to pass a bill where municipal golf courses are being underutilized? So we're gonna
even though the usage is actually up, but they cherry picked some weird stat out of Golf Magazine, and they've decided that
apparently not as many people golf during the wintertime. So they're being underused, and we're gonna convert those to affordable housing.
Yeah, because who needs municipal golf courses?
Yeah.
You have to have clubs and know how to do it and stuff like that. And, well, obviously, racism. We don't want people golfing.
Yeah, that's right.
We want them all living in stack and pack housing on the former golf course. So now they have to be members of a club if they're going to do it.
That's right.
Gosh, that's inclusive because that's going to help a lot.
Yeah.
They can't do it to private golf courses, just the municipal ones. So
There's still quite a few of them around.
I know.
Yeah.
So keep your eyes open. If they seem like they're doing something weird at your local municipal golf course, they probably are.
They probably are.
So, all right.
So.
The other thing I was going to add that I forget a lot is that we have a lot of people who sponsor the show just as individuals. They just go there and, kick in just a... 10 bucks or 20 bucks or whatever a month. We have it all set up so that's easy to do. It's the first of the year if you're looking to something to support. I don't think we're going anywhere. We've been here 10 years or 11 years or some crazy thing.
11 years, yeah.
Go figure.
So if you want to be a sponsor, go to the page, and there's a place there where you can sign up.
And I won't read your name unless you want me to.
Unless you want it. Yeah.
And I'm happy to do that.
Or give us a call. We'll set it up for you.
So anyway, I'll cherry pick one. Thanks for all the people who help out. That's awesome. We pay for the airtime, and we're happy to do it. It's a public service. And the website is wethepeopleradio.us. If you go there and you look through our... decade of archives, and you find a show that you really like and you want to share it with people, you can do that. If you want to, if they don't have a computer and you want to put it on a CD and give it to them so they can listen to it or something like that, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
We make the archives free of charge, and they are not copyrighted. So.
Nope. And if you have a topic you'd like us to talk about, our emails are on the site as well. Drop us a note, and we'll take a look at it.
Yep. And for the next 51 weeks of the year, we will forget to tell you all of that, so we're glad you tuned in today.
Yeah.
I was feeling sort of New Year's-y. Let's see. What do we need to tell people? Okay, it's over. So today we thought we would talk about something great. Okay, there were two choices. One was mental health, because we figured that was kind of a hot topic of late. And we will be getting to that one, our annual mental health show.
I don't need any of that.
No.
No.
That's why we're doing the show.
Oh, okay.
Doing the show.
Who
so
needs
you,
mental health?
No, that's right.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you feel like you're going crazy, it's everybody else. It isn't you.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get Dr. Andrews on to confirm that. But the Second Amendment, huh? What's more popular than the Second Amendment these days? Right on the front edge of the January 6th thing, and I just want you to know that all over Capitol Hill, they have sent emails to anybody and everybody, including, I'm sure, like the custodial staff, that if they are melting down about January 6th and they need counseling, it's available.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're still traumatized by January 6th, you just claw your way to Washington, D.C., and you can get all the mental health help you can stand. Some things you just have to read twice.
I'm not sure how you could be traumatized by that. But, hey,
I know
I'm old school, you know.
Just not traumatizable?
I guess I could be, but not by something like
you
that.
You have your shield of non-traumatizing protection on?
That's right. I wouldn't admit it anyway.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So our guest is Mark Baird. He drew the short straw. He got stuck with us today. But he has a really good topic. And so we thought, gee, you know, this is a hopeful topic. I just wanted something good, you know, some good news for people. Because, I don't know, we just ended the year with craziness and bad news. So let's start with good news. Somebody fighting for something that we care about, who has the potential of winning, that's important to state, and who's qualified to talk about it. Yay! Met all our criteria, and doesn't need mental health help, and is probably not traumatized by January 6th. Those are my postscripts. So Mark is a husband and a dad, and he used to work for World Airways, and he was a Boeing 747 captain. He's retired from that, yes. I was going to say he's a retired rancher. I'm like, wait a minute, that didn't happen. Small business owner, ran a radio station for a while. Quite the travel there. We won't force him to talk to us about that unless he wants to. And he flies on fires. So when you see those giant planes flying over your head, dropping all the red stuff, that's Mark.
Yeah, wave. Hey, Mark.
Yeah. And he's a veteran, so thanks for your service, Mark. And putting out our fires.
Thanks for having me. I was flying over your house during that bonfire, and I thought, well, should I save this house or just like hold off the button for another second?
Do the intermittent like on off on off on off?
Yeah, on off on off. I like that person on. I don't like that person off.
You get the red stuff, you don't, and then you take the detour over the other guy's house who's really not on fire, and you just go, here's some red stuff for you.
That's a little present, you know.
Yeah.
Right on top of the roof.
Uh-huh.
Which does not wash off, by the way, very well.
No, and it drools down the whole house, and everybody gets all worked up about it. But your house didn't burn down, so at some point, really, how worked up are you?
Well, there's that, yes. I mean, there is that.
It's a trade-off.
Yeah, it is. Also, I was a sheriff's deputy.
Oh, yeah,
I
forgot about that part.
For a while. And that should be kind of important to people, because with the prevalence of that and the criminal activity that comes along with it, just the general degradation of society, particularly in urban areas, but rural areas are not spared from this, by the way. There's more drugs, more overdose, more crime associated and everything. So the Second Amendment is just a little bit important.
Yes.
But I want to ask two questions of the listeners before we go down that rabbit hole. And the first question is, do you in your heart of hearts believe that people created government or that government gathered enough people that they could rule over? And I think the answer to that's obvious. I mean, there were people here before there was government, and people created the government to serve some function. And what that function is morphing over time, obviously. But people created government to serve them, not the other way around.
Yeah.
And then the second question is, do you trust a government that doesn't trust you with the same tools that they have? And that's really the big question here, and that's the question that the Second Amendment hinges upon. Do you trust a government that will restrict your access to the same tools that they have access to in order to protect themselves?
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, because all of them are, it kind of circles back to the defund the police, but all of them have huge security detachments and...
Well, and even the people who want to defund the police, I mean, Walnut Creek, great example. They're pretty far left, and after all those smash and grabs in downtown Walnut Creek... That were all over the news, all over the national news. They had these massive smash and grabs. Well, the part that didn't make the news was that hundreds of people showed up at the city council meeting and demanded increases to their police force and transfer of money to the police department to cover that so that would stop happening. So it's kind of interesting.
Well, there's also a guy who was just shot outside Sun Valley Mall in Contra Costa County right there, and I think it's Pleasant Hill, I can't remember.
Yeah,
but he was just shot for trying to intervene in an armed robbery, but the county that he lives in does not issue carry permits to its citizens. They just do not. You can't get one there unless you're a political elite or, assumedly, right. If you're like in Santa Clara County, you can buy one off the sheriff in exchange for a political contribution to her campaign. And the sheriff was just indicted for selling concealed carry permits basically to her large campaign contributors and to the money elites in Silicon Valley. So do you have the enumerated right to defend yourself, your family, and your community, your state, and your nation, or do you not? And that is the question that we're asking in this lawsuit, because California has legislatively banned the Second Amendment. And even a Democratic operative, Judge Mueller, admits in the preliminary paperwork that California has admitted to everything we allege, and she admits that we're very likely to succeed in our lawsuit based on the Second Amendment claim that California has banned the Second Amendment.
Yeah. And it's funny you just brought up kind of a bad memory from last week I had with buying ammunition. I didn't realize that if you go in to buy ammunition, say I wanted to go in and buy a 9mm ammunition for my wife who say carries a 9mm, it's registered to her, and I can't buy that ammunition unless I have a 9mm registered to me. They won't sell it to me. And I guess I didn't realize that. So I guess I shouldn't say this, but I have some older firearms that technically are supposed to be registered, and I just haven't got around to it yet. But I can't buy ammunition for those until they are registered. So that's also an attack on your Second Amendment rights. I mean, they have ways of getting around it.
Well, the California legislature has become very adept at that. I mean, they have the safe handgun roster, and everybody that builds a firearm for sale commercially has to jump through probably $50,000 worth of hoops to see whether they can prove to the state of California that these firearms are safe. And then a law just passed that for every one firearm that's added to the roster, three different types have to be removed from the roster.
Yeah.
So you can see the roster is going to have zero mathematically at some point in time, and you won't be able to buy one.
And these are weapons that are sold in 49 other states and deemed safe.
Exactly.
But California is, leading the charge there.
Yeah, that's exactly true. And in addition to that, they require micro-stamping on all new firearms, and that's a technology that doesn't even exist and has been proven to be easily defeated and practically worthless. And then they had the deal where you had to send a spent cartridge from each firearm to the Department of Justice. I think they still have that. And New York had that, and they abandoned it because they ended up with, like, millions of cartridges in a basement somewhere, and they never ever used one to solve a crime. And it is, but when you look at these things, Is safety really their motive? And the answer to that is obviously not.
No.
Their motive is to chill an enumerated right until finally its exercise is so burdensome and so expensive and so time-consuming that no one bothers to do it. And in many jurisdictions in California, they've been largely successful at that. I mean, you can't get permits in many counties in California, and people just don't try. For example, the state's expert witness who we just deposed is this moron, Kim Rainey, who was the chief of police of Covina, California, which admittedly had less than 5 murders a year, typically. He was involved in one big murder where a guy went and shot his whole family and then set himself on fire accidentally and then killed himself later. And that was his big claim to fame, but he's on the expert witness circuit now. Mm-hmm. And he makes lots of money. He was an expert witness in the Peruta case, and he was an expert witness in our case, and an expert witness, I think, in one of the other Flanagan case, maybe it was. But this guy, by his own admission, knows nothing about open carry, has never had any experience with it, has never had any issues with it in his jurisdiction, even though for several years while he was police chief, the open carry of unloaded weapons was typical and legal. He never had any bad experiences with it. He, by his own admission, is not familiar with policing in any jurisdiction outside of Los Angeles County. He did say that it might be in counties north of Fresno, it might be a different way of life for those people up there.
It might be.
So we are those people, yeah.
Yeah, let's make sure and let him know that that's actually true. We have to take a really quick break. When we come back, for those people who just feel like they walked in halfway through a movie, we didn't... I didn't do a very good job of setting this up. We need to explain what this lawsuit is and what's going on with that, give you a little background before we start doing inside baseball. So now you got a little bit of advanced knowledge. We hope you'll stick with us. I think you'll find it informative, and we'll be back with our guest, Mark Baird, in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Nice job, Bill.
Thanks.
Talking about his brand new mission. Liked his plans, but they came undone when it got around to God and guns. I don't know how he grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. Cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. Take our God and guns. Yeah, out here in my neck of the woods, where God is great and guns are good. You really can't know that much about them if you think we're better off without them.
I tried to come up with a shorter version of that clip, but you had to get it all in there. That kind of says the whole thing. So if you need a theme song for the lawsuit, if you guys do a movie, there you go. I think that would be a good one.
Okay, sounds good to me.
I think that pretty much that's like the preamble.
Yeah.
So tell people kind of what the lawsuit is about, or, you know, what started it, all that kind of good stuff, because we know, and I know we've talked about it a little bit, but for people who don't live out here or, you know, are just tuning in, maybe their 2020 resolution is to listen to radio shows where they might learn something, and they tuned in.
We
You're in the right
hope.
Place. Give them sort of the on-ramp.
Okay. Well, what happened early on in the deal was that for over 200 years, open carry of a loaded weapon, open carry of any kind of weapon, in fact, carry any way you wanted to do it, because really, if you have your weapon on your side and it starts raining and you put on your raincoat, are you concealing your gun or are you just staying dry? So for a couple of hundred years in California, carry of a loaded weapon was unremarkable, totally unregulated, and until 1968, you could strap your hog leg on and walk right into the governor's office in Sacramento, and nobody thought anything about it, nobody said a word about it, it was perfectly legal. Now, when we say something is legal, anything that is not unlawful is legal. In other words, it is not unlawful for you to dance around in your backyard naked as long as you're not showing off for little children or something. You see what I mean? It's not unlawful for you to do anything unless specifically it is declared in the penal code or government code or whatever to be unlawful. So the carry of a weapon was perfectly acceptable and unremarkable, unregulated, and totally okay. Now, in 1968, the Black Panthers had a little demonstration in the Capitol, and they had some firearms with them, and it's not really clear whether they were loaded or not to this day. Some say they were, some say they weren't, but they were parading around the Capitol building with M1 carbines and shotguns and stuff like that. And they asked the legislative aide which way to the gallery. They wanted to go in the gallery and chant Black Power from the gallery. And the aide mistakenly let them on to the Senate floor. So they found themselves there through no fault of their own, admittedly. And I have my own opinion of the Black Panthers, but it doesn't really apply to a lawful demonstration. And so after that, of course, it scared the heck out of all the legislators because they realized that the people do have recourse when they're doing something that the people don't like, no matter who the people are and no matter what the cause is. So they promptly passed the Mulford Act, which banned the open carry of a loaded weapon, clearly unconstitutional, but no one fought it. And unfortunately, the invasive racism implied in that act, because what they were clearly trying to do was disarm a group of black people, and what they had to do in order to do that was disarm everyone. So Penal Code 25850 bans the open carry of a loaded firearm anywhere outside your front door or outside the business that you physically own. You can't even walk around your front yard, technically, under Penal Code 25850 with a loaded firearm. And then in 2012 and 2013, little Anthony Portantino, who, by the way, his claim to fame was he was the art director on the Grizzly Adams TV show, and that catapulted him to political office, first as an assemblyman and then a state senator. He said, and I quote, and this is clearly not chilling on the Second Amendment, "You don't need a firearm to go to McDonald's and purchase a cheeseburger." So after 1968, what people went to doing was they openly carried an unloaded firearm, when what we used to do, and my dad did it, and I did it too, you carry your weapon on one hip, and then you carry the magazine in your pocket or in a holder on the other hip. It wasn't perfect, but at least you had some Second Amendment. So that was banned in 2012 for pistols and in 2013 for long guns. And so by a combination of penal codes, 25850, 26400, and 26350, California banned the carry of all weapons, concealed or open, that were loaded, and the carry of all weapons that were unloaded, either concealed or open. Now, the only exemption to that is Penal Code 26150, which allows 150 and 155, which allows either police chiefs or sheriffs they may issue you a concealed carry permit if you jump through the hoops, if you pay And if you show what California refers to as just cause over and above what the ordinary citizen would face in his normal life. In other words, you have to have, according to California's definition, a specific threat against you that's verifiable before you would be allowed by government to exercise an enumerated right, which is the right to keep and bear arms. And by the way, the right itself declares that it shall not be infringed, but California's just ignored that part. Now, some sheriffs will issue permits to people who pay the money, jump through the hoops, take the training, pass the background check, and blah, 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 and on and on and on. And some sheriffs and police chiefs will not. It typically is more rural areas that will, and it's typically more urban areas that will not. Some urban areas don't issue them at all. In fact, in the state's expert witness, Kim Rainey's case, in 39 years in law enforcement, he never, ever issued a permit to anyone that wasn't either a retired or active law enforcement officer. And the reason he didn't was he just thought it was a bad idea. So even though you have the in the Bill of Rights, you have the enumerated right to keep and bear arms, and that right shall not be infringed, a single government agent or a single state actor has the ability to deny an enumerated right to the people in that jurisdiction. And these are county specific. When you ask permission from a government agent, you must ask in your county or your city of residence. You can't ask in San Diego for a permit that would apply to your residence in Siskiyou County, say. So there are geographic restrictions to these. Now, in the case of open carry is banned by legislation in the penal code. Now, concealed carry is allowed in some instances, but what has happened in the Ninth Circuit, several people have gone to court, and they have said that it is unconstitutional to deny some people access to a permit, but to allow other people access to a permit to conceal carry. Because open carry is against the law, period. Nobody can do it. And so what the Ninth Circuit found in Bank, in Peruta v. San Diego, is that concealed carry is not a right. It is a privilege, a permission. States can ban it. States can regulate it. States can do whatever they want to it. And that case has not reached the Supreme Court and probably never will. So we could say that it's settled law, but concealed carry is not a right. Now, in Young versus Hawaii, but in Peruta, they did say if there is a right, it is the open carry of a loaded weapon. If there is any Second Amendment right at all, it has to be open carry because it's not concealed carry. So that's the basis of the lawsuit. Now, later on, in Young versus Hawaii, in Bank, they reversed the Ninth Circuit decision that open carry is a right, and in Bank, the Ninth Circuit has said that no one has the right to either openly or concealed carry a weapon in the state of California, in the Ninth Circuit, all the western states in the Ninth Circuit. So you have no Second Amendment right within the jurisdiction of the Ninth Circuit. But the reason I filed my lawsuit is this. And this is kind of a very little known thing. In fact, my sheriff didn't even know it was possible. Penal Code 26150 and 155B2 give sheriffs and police chiefs in jurisdictions with less than 200,000 people the ability to issue open carry permits for loaded weapons. So conceivably, you could get a permit to openly carry a loaded weapon, but if you carried an unloaded weapon, you'd go to jail. That's a little stupid, but that's the way the law reads. Now, interestingly enough, legislatively, that was part of the penal code that banned open carry, created concealed carry, and so on and so forth. So the legislature of the state of California has directed its agencies and directed its branches of government that sheriffs can issue permits to openly carry a loaded weapon, and the rules and laws regarding that are the same as for concealed carry. You got to jump through the hoops, apply for the permit, show just cause, pay the money, so on and so forth. But here's the crux of the lawsuit. No sheriff has ever issued an open carry permit in California since the inception of the program in 2012, and I can prove that with my FOIA request. The state has no records of any sheriff, and by penal code, whenever a sheriff issues a carry permit, they have to turn the records and the money over to DOJ. And here's why. Because even though the legislature directed the executive that this is a lawful activity, the State Department of Justice refused to publish the permits for an open carry, for a request for open carry. There is no such form to apply for it, and they did that arbitrarily so that no one would be able to, because by penal code, you must use Department of Justice forms when you ask for a carry permit. So a single state agency decided to defy the legislature and defy the will of the people by not issuing the paperwork so that someone could apply for this permit. So I sued them.
Yeah.
And they admit everything I've said, because in their opening brief, the state said, we, meaning the state of California, have given all authority to decide who may carry and conversely who may not carry in the state of California to sheriffs and police chiefs. Well, gee, if you look at McDonald v. Chicago, the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, attached the Second Amendment to the states through the 14th Amendment. So the Second Amendment does apply to the states, and that is by Supreme Court dictate. California Constitution Article 3, Section 1 says the United States Constitution is the highest law in the land, and it shall be followed even before state law. And California Constitution Article 2, Section 1 says government was formed by the people to serve the people for their good, not the good of government. And then Article 1, Section 1 of the California Constitution says we have the unalienable right to protect our lives and our property. Now, it doesn't say with firearms, but it doesn't say not with firearms. So in the lawsuit, the state admits that they have banned the Second Amendment and given the authority to bestow certain aspects of the Second Amendment on police chiefs and sheriffs. And they admit that fully. And what we're saying is, no, you can't. Now, they admit what they've done. They just don't think it's wrong. Now, even Judge Mueller, who, by the way, is a dyed-in-the-wool Democratic operative, and as luck would have it, every time we go into federal court, we end up with that judge. She even admits that we're very likely to succeed in the lawsuit based on the Second Amendment claim, and that is that California has banned the Second Amendment.
Hmm. Well, that seems kind of a lot, huh? Yeah, well, it seems kind of cut and dried.
But it wouldn't be the first time that
something was right in front of their face.
The Ninth Circuit has basically not followed the law, made their own law, and that's really the problem nowadays. Is these judges are making law?
Well, they don't like what the
well.
Hang on, guys. Let's take a break here before we run long, and then we'll come right back. And we have Mark as our hostage for the second hour in case people are panicking, thinking we're going to run out of time. We're not going to run out of time. Well, we will, but we still have time. How about that? You are listening to We the People, and you can find everything about the show, including the archive of today's program later this afternoon at wethepeopleradio.us.
Tell you what you do. Call them a rain. Some douchebag rises up and overthrows his government. Diplomacy ain't working and ammo's all been spent. The world is in a crisis and the media's a curse. I'll tell you what to do when it goes from bad to worse. Call a Marine, still a 911. They're built to improvise, adapt and overcome. Shit's Creek, you've tried everything. Tell you what to do. Call a Marine. Tell you what to do, baby. You can.
Deep in the heart of Texas, back in 1835, they drew a line in the sand. The folks at Gonzales had freedom on their minds. It was all because of a cannon that had kept their colony safe. But then General Santa Ana sent some Mexican troops to take the big gun away. know what those colonists said? Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but we'll warn you. You'll have to pry from our cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it. One shot at a time.
Subtle.
I don't get it. We
pride ourselves on those subtle songs. So, Mark, what about the whole connection with other states in the country? Because there are other lawsuits of this type happening.
Well,
or have happened, I guess.
That's a little bit of the good news, because there are a couple of cases that have made it to the Supreme Court level. One of which was the Bruin v. New York Rifle and Pistol Association, and that one, the oral arguments were just heard. And prior to deposing Kim Rainey, the state's expert witness, that case went to oral, and I listened to the oral arguments for that case probably 10 or 15 times at least, because I didn't want to miss one single word. I have like 31 pages of notes just on the oral arguments for that one case. And here's the takeaway. When judges in the Supreme Court ask questions of the attorney, they're not actually asking questions. They're making a pitch to the other justices and the people in the courtroom and the people who may be listening to try to sell what is probably already their point of view. And so in the Bruin v. New York Rifle and Pistol Association case, and Bruin was the New York AG, I believe, that's why his name is on it, at least six justices absolutely ripped New York a new one over their permitting scheme, which in essence is so chilling on the Second Amendment that almost no one gets a permit. Now, they are like us in California, where people up there, you know, assumably the country bumpkins in upstate New York, have a slightly easier time getting a permit for, quote, hunting and fishing. But almost no one ever gets a permit for self-protection or self-defense or what the Second Amendment was truly designed for, and that was defense against tyranny. So in New York City, though, almost no one gets a permit ever. You can get a permit, and you need a permit anytime your firearm leaves your home, even to go to the range. And in fact, the city of New York banned the transportation of firearms outside the city. You had to have a permit for that, and they stopped issuing those. So six justices really tore them up. And I mean, even Elena Kagan, who is admittedly a screaming communist, found it incongruous that the Second Amendment was the only enumerated right for which permission from the government was required prior to its exercise. And she asked the New York State's Attorney General how do we reconcile that? And the New York Attorney General, fortunately for the people of the United States, was an absolute dumpster fire idiot. I mean, I've never heard a bigger moron who assumedly got a law degree. Justice Roberts asked her, don't you find that the need for self-defense is more rigorous in urban areas than it is in the country? Well, no, Your Honor, because there are wild animals in the country. And Robert said, well, yeah, but do you think you're more likely to be raped and killed on a forest trail or walking in downtown Brooklyn at 2:00 in the morning? Well, yes, but there are crimes committed in rural areas, the Attorney General said. And I think it was Alito or Thomas said, well, what about the poor guy that's working in Brooklyn and he gets off at 2:00 in the morning and he has to walk home? Well, we have police for that. And that is true. And when the police are, when a crime is only seconds away, the police are only minutes away. I mean, so, and then one said, well, what about crime in the subway? Well, we have transit police for that. And the justice replied, yeah, but I would say the most highly armed group of people in the subway are the criminals. And what you propose is to leave them armed and to leave the population of New York defenseless. So in short, there were five justices and perhaps six that will vote against the state of New York. Now, here's the open question. By we, I mean the people who value their liberty, are going to win that case. New York State will lose the case. But here's the open question. What will we win? I don't think the Supreme Court has the political backbone to strike permits altogether and to allow constitutional carry. I think that would be a stretch even for those guys. But what I think they will do is they will strike the may issue portion of these permits and make all permits shall issue. In other words, if you ask for them and you pay the money and you jump through the hoops, you will get the permit. And in California, now remember, open carry of a loaded weapon is not allowed, period. It's banned by penal, or excuse me, open carry is banned by penal code, and concealed carry is not a right. So in California, the impact of that case could be to strike the may issue from open carry permits and make them shall issue, where concealed carry permits could very well remain may issue because that's not your right, according to the Ninth Circuit, and that's settled law, according to the state of California. So what the state has done, in essence, in California, they painted themselves into a corner. You don't have the right to concealed carry, but even their expert witness admits that you do have a right. We have a right. The Constitution says so. It's in plain English. It's attached to the states through McDonald. And so what is our right? Is the Second Amendment an individual right? The state says it is. New York State says it is in their case paperwork. They admit that the Second Amendment is an individual right that attaches to the individual no matter where he or she may be in order to oppose violent attack when confronted with it. And so in order to do that, we must have weapons and we must have access to weapons. And in Sitano v. Massachusetts, it is said that states may not debar their citizens the use of weapons because states are often more interested in disarming people than they are in keeping them safe. Now, the state of California says that, yes, they agree. You have a right. It's an individual right. It attaches to you no matter where you are. It admittedly involves weapons, but they don't want you to have one, and here's why. Because it's bad public policy. Now, they admit in their paperwork and in their depositions that it would be a benefit to the individual to possess a weapon to defend themselves in the case of armed conflict or violent conflict from an aggressor. But they say, even though that's a benefit and it may save lives, it is worthwhile to sacrifice those lives so that the general public will feel safe because they will know that no one has a weapon except the crooks, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what the state says, that it is bad public policy to allow the general public to arm themselves for self-defense because people may not feel safe if they know that you, a law-abiding, lawful individual, may or may not have a weapon. Is that crazy? Is that the craziest
totally
thing you ever heard in your life, or what?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question, Bill. When you get out of the car and you're going into Home Depot or Lowe's or wherever you're going, and you hop out of the car and you're walking towards the door, is the first thought in your mind, oh, my God, I don't feel safe because someone else in this parking lot may have a weapon?
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, but the first thing I do is look around to make sure I'm safe myself, and I proceed in. I have no thought whatsoever as to whether or not somebody else is carrying a weapon.
But the state professes that is the primary focus of all citizens of the state, and in order to feel safe, they have to deny you the ability to protect yourself, even though you may save your own life with that protection. Your life has less value as an individual than the, quote, collective right that they imagined into existence, because the collective right to feel safe doesn't exist anywhere on paper, in legislation, in the Constitution, or in any document that governs the people of this state or this nation.
Yeah, because it's not an actual
right to
thing.
Feel safe, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But that's what they're hanging their hat on, and that's why we'll win.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's crazy. But, well, it's interesting that you that example, I was walking the dog yesterday, and 2 days ago, I guess, I was going along just, you know, evening, and homeless guy's riding his bike towards me with, you know, the obligatory giant bag of stuff. And so I knew we couldn't both fit kind of on the sidewalk. And so I, you know, kind of took the dogs around the corner and just kind of waited for the guy to get up to the corner so he could go over. And I happened to glance over, and he's got two gigantic blades hanging off his belt. And I'm thinking, well, that's awesome. I kind of wish I had a gigantic blade, or maybe something that had projectiles in it, because that would be faster.
Ironically, in the state of California, it is perfectly lawful for you to carry a sword openly on your belt.
Yeah, he obviously knew that. I didn't get the memo because I didn't carry a sword to go walk the dogs. But, I mean, these were like, you know, hack your way through the Everglades kind of knives. Like, huh.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It's okay for you to openly carry a Bowie knife in the state of California, but, you know, you can go to jail for having a .22 short tucked in your pocket.
That you had to be licensed and trained to carry and pass a background check. And I'm pretty sure that the machete didn't require any training. And I'm kind of sure, you know, not to be casting aspersions, but I'm pretty sure he couldn't have passed a background check. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, perhaps not. And maybe he got his training from the local golf pro. Just, you know, the backswing's important with a machete. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true, because we still have municipal golf courses. We haven't gotten rid of those yet. There's another there's another benefit.
Well, you know, those could be put to better uses, huh? You never know.
That's what's happening. That's why we got to get rid of them. They're teaching them machete swings.
So we're deposing
Chief
Rainey. And Chief Rainey admits, because, and this was the great takeaway from the one, the state only has one witness, and that's this police chief, and he's their expert, and he's all that. And at the end, my attorney asked, and there are two questions that my attorney really asked that were important. First of all, she asked the judge, and the judge, her head exploded. She said, "Your Honor, aren't you bound by Supreme Court dictate in this case?" And clearly Heller, McDonald, Wren, and I could go on. There are 25 Supreme Court cases that support the open carry of weapons in the United States. Aren't you bound by Supreme Court dictate? And the city of Chicago versus McDonald clearly attaches that right to the state. And California has admitted that they banned the Second Amendment. And the judge lost her junk.
Oh, that's fun. Well, let's come back with that, Mark. We've got to take a break for the news, and I wanted to let people know that on the site I have posted a spot where you can mail financial support for the lawsuit. It's 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B. Checks are made out to pecan like the nuts, and that's Redding, California, 96003. We'll do that again when we come back. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Sorry, Bill. Took your job.
Wow.
In the master's chambers, they gathered for a big feast. They stab it with their steely knives, but they just can't.